This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Kings, chapter 11. We want to continue our study looking at the life of Solomon. 1 Kings, chapter 11. Sunday afternoon, we looked at the fact that God was angry with Solomon because Solomon had disobeyed his word. We read in Deuteronomy where the Lord had said that there would be kings that would be coming to the nation of Israel when they got into the land. And that what those kings were to do is not have put their trust in horses and chariots, not put their trust in gold and silver, and not gather wives onto themselves that would take their heart away. And Solomon did all of those things. And he started out so well, but he's finishing so bad. It's a lesson to all of us that God, when He opens up our hearts and we come to know Him as Lord and Savior, that He wants us to continually grow closer to Him and not be distracted and led away by the things of the world. The Apostle Paul is constantly calling Christians to realize the spiritual battle we're in. We've been looking at Galatians and Ephesians. On Sunday morning, we finished the book of Galatians. We're in the book of Ephesians about halfway through. But as you look at what Paul is telling us, the great temptation for us is the same temptation that Solomon faced. And that is the world encroaches upon us, but Satan tempts us, and we constantly need to be turning to the Lord and seeking to follow and walk with God. And that's what we're going to be looking at this evening, that the consequences not only impact our lives, but they influence many others as well. And Solomon had a great influence over the whole nation of Israel, as well as the nations around him. And as we're going to be looking this evening into the consequences of God's judgment upon Solomon for his lack of trust and faith and his disobedience, that some of the things and decisions Solomon made 3,000 years ago are still touching people's lives today. And we don't realize how far-reaching the impact of our decisions can be. Let's take a look at 1 Kings. And I want us to start at verse 9 of chapter 11. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And he had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of thy hand, out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all of the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king's seed of Edom. For it came to pass, when David was in Edom, and Joab, the captain of the host, was gone up to bury the slain after he had smitten every male in Edom. For 6 months did Joab remain there with all Israel until he had cut off every male in Edom. That Hadad fled, he and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him, to go into Egypt, Hadad being yet a little child. And they arose out of Midian and came to Paran, and they took men with them out of Paran, and they came up to Egypt unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, which gave him a house, and appointed him victuals, and gave him land. And Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him a wife, the sister of his own wife, the sister Tophanes, the queen. And the sister of Tophanes bare him Genubath, his son, whom Tophanes weaned in Pharaoh's house. And Genubath was in Pharaoh's household among the sons of Pharaoh. And when Hadad heard that in Egypt, that David slept with his fathers and that Joab, the captain of the host, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, "Let me depart, that I may go to mine own country." Then Pharaoh said unto him, "But what hast thou lacked with me? And behold, thou seekest to go to thine own country." And he answered, "Nothing. However, let me go anywise." God stirred him up another adversary, Rezin, son of Eliada, which fled from his lord, Hadadezer, king of Zobah. And he gathered him unto him and became captain over a band. And David slew them of Zobah, and they went to Damascus and dwelt therein and reigned in Damascus. And he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, beside the mischief that Hadad did, and he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the Ephraimite of Zeredah, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Milo, and repaired the breaches of the city of David, his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor, and Solomon sent, seeing the young man that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. It's just, Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, Lord, I pray that as we look at your word tonight, just help us to understand the reality of the consequences of Solomon's sin and what happened because of it. Lord, help us to realize that the greatest sin was that he abandoned you. His father David had sinned against you, but David repented and turned to you and called on your name for forgiveness, and he never ever looked anywhere else to worship another god. But Lord, Solomon followed the leading of his wives and worshiped the false demonic gods that they worshiped. And Father, you had warned him not to do this. And there were real consequences. Lord, now I pray that you just speak to us and help us to understand the importance of walking close to you in a day in which the demonic presence is so great in our world and the temptations are being placed before us at all times to turn from you to others. Lord, help us never to do it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God warned Solomon. And one of the things that he warned him about is there would be consequences to his decision. It says in verse 9 that the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from him, the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. The Lord didn't appear to everybody, but he appeared to Solomon twice. Remember the first time he appeared when he was a young man just taking over the rule for his father David and asked him, "What would you have me do for you?" Revealing to Solomon that he was there to be his guide, to be his help, to be the one that Solomon could lean on. Solomon, as you remember, asked for wisdom. The problem is, Solomon, later on in his life, failed to make the application of that wisdom to his own heart, and that is resulted in a heart that turned from God and began to worship these false gods. The Lord said, and he had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord had commanded. Now, I want you to understand, these other gods were horrific gods. We looked at some of them, just mentioning their names on Sunday afternoon. And some of them were Moloch, a horrible god, a horrible demonic. The people who worshiped Moloch, they built an idol to Moloch, or a statue to Moloch, and there was a furnace within the statue. And this rendering of this god Moloch had his arms out like this in front of him. They would heat the statue up, and then they would place their children in the arms of this statue, and their children would be murdered. And that's just one of the things they did. There was Ashtaroth, a wicked god, goddess, that was the goddess of fertility, and you can imagine the worship that went on there. There was Baal, the god that was the god of the Sidonians, one of them, the god of Jezebel, the god that the demonic entity that sought to take the life of Elijah, the god that desired to destroy all of Israel, the god that desired to undermine Ahab so that he would not follow and he would do all that was wicked in the eyes of God. These are just three of the many gods that Solomon worshipped. I was wrong on Sunday afternoon, and my wife corrected me because I'd forgotten that the name of the hill that Solomon, or the mountain that Solomon built all of these high places on, it's next to the Mount of Olives, but it's not the Mount of Olives. If you go to Israel today, there's a mountain that's next to the Mount of Olives, and it's called the Mountain of Ill Repute. And it's a apropos name because that's where Solomon built all these high places. It's interesting in Israel today that the UN has its headquarters in Israel on the Mountain of Ill Repute. They're about the same quality and the same rendering and the same direction of these false gods that sought to destroy Israel. And the UN does as well. So this was Solomon. And God had a right to be angry with him. And as his anger comes against him, he says, "Wherefore, because of what Solomon did, this is what God is going to do. Wherefore the Lord said to Solomon, for as much as thus is done to thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and shall give it to thy servant." He says, the kingdom that was yours, that you received following your father's death, and that I had allowed you to really, Solomon even expanded it a little bit more than it was under David. And the Lord had told him, "I will add all these things onto you because you've asked for wisdom." He gave him authority. He gave him riches. He gave him all the things that men that he would want. And all he asked in return is that Solomon would worship him. And when he didn't, he said, "I'm going to take or rend these things from you. I'm going to rip these things from you. You will no longer have them." Now he says that I'm not going to do it during your lifetime for your father David's sake, but rather I'm going to do it during the time that your son comes to rule. And we'll be looking at that in the days ahead. But I want you to see that he also tells Solomon who the kingdom is going to be given to. And it's going to be given to his servant. Now the servant that he's going to give it to is Jeroboam. And we're going to see something interesting tonight about Jeroboam. And we're going to see that Solomon had enemies from without and enemies from within. You know, as we look at this lesson tonight, it sounds a lot like what's happening in Israel today. They have enemies from without, and they have enemies from within. If you go to Israel today, there are Jewish people in Israel, with all that has happened to Israel, that are still desiring that those in authority and that are trying to protect Israel and come against their enemies would step down, and that appeasement could somehow be made. That's an enemy from within. And not only that, they want to destroy the sovereignty of Israel, and there's really one worlders within the government of Israel today, and they try to destroy it from within. That's exactly what we're going to see was happening in the kingdom of Solomon, and God said it would happen. Now, one of the things that happened during Solomon's time is the Lord removed his hand of protection around Israel. Prior to this event occurring, where Solomon began to build these high places for his wives on the mountain of ill repute, and then he went and worshipped with them to these false demonic gods that are no gods at all. And prior to that, God had protected Solomon from his enemies. You don't read anywhere in the scripture prior to this where there were people that were coming against Solomon. Up until this point, the world was coming to Solomon to hear his wisdom, and they were bringing him gifts, and nobody was warring against Solomon. All of a sudden, there are three people that rise up as main in adversarial relationships against Solomon. Two from without and one from within. And I want us to take a look at them tonight. The adversaries of Solomon, beginning at verse 14. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad. Now, who is Hadad? Well, the scriptures tell us in the verses that we've just read earlier in the service that Hadad was an Edomite. And Hadad was young, a young boy, when David ruled. Now, David came against the Edomites because the Edomites were causing issues for Israel. And God allowed David to go against the Edomites, and Joab was the man who at that time was in charge of his host or his army. And so Joab went down, and they fought against the Edomites. And as he was burying his dead, it says in Scripture, he took the army that he had, and he went in and he destroyed all of the men that were Edomites in the land of Edom. Now, we know that he did not destroy all of the male Edomites, because later on, during the Herodian rule at the time of Jesus, the household of Herod, they were Edomites. And so the Edomites still lived during the time of Jesus, which would have been around 1,000 years after David and Solomon had reigned. So we know that some of them, and we see here one of them and his family escaped to Egypt. When Joab was down there destroying the male Edomites, as God had revealed that they should do, this man, Hadad, escaped to Egypt. And when he escaped to Egypt, he was welcomed by Pharaoh. Now, I want you to see some interesting things here. Who was Solomon's first wife that we see recorded in Scripture that he built a beautiful living place to, that resembled his own house? It was the daughter of Pharaoh. He had married the daughter of Pharaoh. And now this man escapes to Egypt, and he goes to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh embraces him. And he accepts him as part of his own family, to the point where when this man has a child, his child is treated like one of the sons of Pharaoh. And this man receives all kinds of blessings from Pharaoh as he's living in Egypt, to the point that when this man, Hadad, finds out that David has died, he decides he wants to go back to Edom because he no longer fears for his life, because David is dead, Joab is dead, and those that sought to kill the men of Edom are dead, and so he wants to go back there. But he's got a burning hatred for Israel in his heart, and specifically for the house of David. And so we see that this man, as he goes back to Edom, desires to come against Solomon. And it says here that Hadad, in verse 19, he found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, and so that Pharaoh gave him to wife the sister of his own wife. The sister was Tophanes, the queen, and the sister of Tophanes bare him Genebath. And so it was the sister of Tophanes, the queen of Egypt, that was given to Hadad, and she bare him this boy. But then he wants to go back. Verse 21, and when Hadad heard that Egypt, that David slept with his fathers, and that Joab, the captain of the host, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, "Let me depart, that I may go to mine own country." Why did he go to his own country? Well, we know that he went to his own country to come against Solomon. And he desired to come against Solomon. I want you to see, it's interesting. Solomon is facing an enemy to the south and west. His next enemy is going to be a man by the name of, as we see here, in Rezin. Now, Rezin was a son of Eliada, which fled from his lord Hadadezer, king of Zobah. And he gathered men unto him and became the captain over the band. When David slew them of Zobah, and they went to Damascus and dwelt therein and reigned in Damascus. Now, if you go back and read what David did with Syria and Damascus, David conquered all of that area. And when he conquered Syria, Damascus was the chief city of Syria. And what David did when he conquered Damascus is he set troops within the city of Damascus to rule over Damascus and make sure that they wouldn't rise up against him. And so we see that Rezer goes back, and he, during the time of Solomon, he conquers the area that David had conquered. And not only that, he makes Damascus his headquarters. So now you've got the one man, the king of the, or the prince of the Edomites, and the land of Edom is to the southeast of Israel, down in the western, north, western portion of the Arabian Peninsula, where really Jordan is today, is where Edom would have been. Part of Jordan is the Edomites. So he would have been there, and then to the north and east of Jerusalem is Damascus. When we were in Israel on our tour, we went up to the Golan Heights, and we went up to the Syrian border in the Golan Heights, and we could look out and see a Syrian town that was it had to be less than a mile or two, probably about 2 miles away from us, because you could see the buildings, and we actually could hear gunshots going on over there. I don't know what was happening, but we could see that. And then Damascus would have been about another 40 or 50 miles beyond that town. And Damascus is really close to Israel. And now this man sets up his rule in Damascus. And he becomes a thorn in the side of Solomon. And he's constantly, much like they're doing today from Lebanon and Syria, making life miserable for the Israelites that live in the northern part of Israel. Not only that, but because of what Solomon did, it says centuries later, the same thing would happen. It would be going on. David had conquered Syria. David had his troops in Syria. David had peace going on in Syria. But because of what Solomon did in worshiping other gods, God allowed his enemies to come in, overtake Damascus, and become a thorn in his side. And today, that is one of the big thorns in the side of Israel, is those that are coming from Beirut in Syria, and specifically from Damascus. I was just reading today about some of the battles that are going on right now, and Hezbollah and Iran are moving armaments into Damascus. And that's really close to Israel. And they're getting ready to do some nefarious things against Israel. But the thing is, it's the same as what was going on during the time of Solomon. And so we see that the same thing is happening. But what about the one who is the enemy with him? It's a man by the name of Jeroboam. And what's the significance of Jeroboam? Well, the scriptures tell us a little bit about Jeroboam. It tells us that his father had died, his mother was a widow. It tells us he was an industrious man. It tells us that he was a hard worker, and Solomon was impressed with his work ethic and what he did. Solomon entrusted him to go and rebuild the city of Milo, M-I-L-L-O. And when he went to rebuild that city, it was a fort that was put around the wall of Jericho to make it more difficult the wall of Jerusalem, not Jericho, but Jerusalem. And so it was to reinforce the wall of Jerusalem and give a place of the troops of Solomon could staged and boarded. And so it could be a protection for the city of Jerusalem. He was entrusted to build this. When he did, it appears that he became a little arrogant and prideful because of what he had done. Because Solomon was pleased with what had happened and with the job he'd done. But he also began to conspire against Solomon. And Solomon, interesting, made him a captain over one of the northern tribes, and we see that in the last verse that we read. And it says here that the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor, and Solomon, seeing the young man that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all in charge of the house of Joseph. Now, what is the house of Joseph? The house of Joseph would have been Manasseh and Ephraim. Ephraim being the major tribe, and Manasseh being the lesser tribe as far as in the rulership of what became the northern kingdom. Ephraim would become the leading tribe of the northern kingdom, and he was made the leader or ruler over that house. That would end up being his place that he would rule from, and also it would be his downfall, because he would view that as he had been made ruler over Ephraim, that he could establish his own kingdom and establish his own place of worship in the land of Ephraim, which he did. And that resulted in his downfall in the eyes of the Lord. But we see that Solomon finds him in a unique position. He finds enemies from without and enemies from within. And it's not because God wasn't more powerful enough to protect him, but it's because of Solomon's own sin. And we see that the sin of Solomon in pursuing other gods and disobeying the Lord and taking many wives and placing himself and being proud more and placing himself above his fellow countrymen, which God told him not to do. We saw that he did that with the type of throne he built and having all the gold and silver and the horses and the chariots and all that God told him not to put his faith and trust in. And then ultimately worshiping the false gods. That Solomon had the kingdom rendered from him, and we see that it would be a kingdom that would be split. In the next few verses, it tells us that the Lord would take the kingdom, and the northern kingdom would be 10 tribes. We're going to study that next week. The southern kingdom would be one tribe plus Judah. So we'd have Benjamin and Judah in the south and the other 10 tribes in the north. And then there would be those that would be of the house of Levi that would be in throughout the land, but they would mainly be part of the northern 10 tribes. All of this occurred because of Solomon's sin. And the kingdom of Israel, for literally hundreds of years, would suffer the consequences because of Solomon's sin. There would be the civil war. There would be the kingdom, the land of Israel split into two kingdoms. There would be the war between these two kingdoms, the constant going back and forth. You'd see the northern kingdom being led into apostasy because of Solomon's decisions and because of Jeroboam's decisions, much earlier than the southern kingdom, but both of them ultimately being done. And it was all because of the idol worship and the false god worship that Solomon introduced. May we understand there are real consequences to sin. May we understand that God calls us to walk with Him because He truly is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And that He is the one that is the light of this world, not the darkness of the false gods of this world that are controlled by Satan. And we see that we are called not to turn from Him to darkness, but rather to come out of darkness into light and to continue to walk with Him. And so this is a grave lesson to be learned from Solomon this evening. The consequences of decisions last hundreds of years, can last hundreds of years. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You just be with us this evening. Help us to understand and learn from this lesson. Help us to see the foolish decisions that Solomon made at the end of his life. And even in the book of Ecclesiastes, the very words that he wrote towards the end of his life about that everything was vanity when you removed you from it. Yet he removed you. And Lord, help us to see that he didn't apply his own wisdom to his life, but rather walked in the vanity of this world. And there were real consequences. Lord, help us to walk with you and to seek to grow in your love and knowledge, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 398.